Morning. So today a little different for you, but still absolutely awesome. We close out, this is week 9 of 9 of the Transform series. And I, at the back half of this morning's message time, will be bringing the close out of 1 Peter chapter 5. But for obvious reasons, this is a bit different, but a good way. Transformation isn't just about you in your small world. Transformation's taking place literally all over the world and has been doing for many, many years. So if you are age under 25, put both hands in the air. If you're under 25, both hands in the air. All the way up at the back, all the way around here. Oh, okay. This is really interesting. Hands down. You weren't even born when these two special people got sent by the Lord overseas. And so today we get to celebrate that and be part of that. And so I'm going to ask Jonathan, our pastor over all of our outreach, both local and globally, to talk about this, share some celebration of these two special people, and then bring a report of the transformation that took place through many of our people who went to Zanzibar a few weeks ago and the transformation that's still taking place. We don't want to talk about being transformed. We want to see what transformed is and the impact of it. So take it away, Jonathan.
This is Mark and Beth Van Beber. Stumbling over my words there. Most of you don't know them. Most of you weren't born when they went overseas in the late 90s. But they have spent the last 25 years serving in the nation of Hungary. And they're in a transition period where they're returning back. They actually went, they were at this church when they were in elementary school. And so this is a long journey back to Arizona, and we're so happy to celebrate what they've done and their life. They're transitioning back into other areas of ministry. Mark and I were talking about how retirement is not in our vocabulary because we love ministry. We love doing what the Lord's work is. But just so you know, a couple years ago, my wife and I transitioned back from overseas, and we were in a community with about 20 people there. And we went around the room to see how long people had served, and we were the second longest at 13 years. The people that were 35 years were a couple laps around, but it takes a lot to last that long on the field, and there's so much sacrifice of relationships that you enjoyed, that you still value, but that changed. The whole nation has changed in the time that they've been gone, and so they have a big transition ahead of them. Mark is teaching at Valley Christian, and Beth is still exploring what's ahead of her, trying to figure out what's going to be happening in the years ahead. But we want to take time to honor them. Thank you for your years of service. We actually have a little gift. Des, do you mind grabbing this? Handing it. Yeah, it's a little bit heavy, but it's a gift just commemorating their time of service from this church and something for them to remember us being their commissioning church. And they mentioned the word decommissioning. We're not doing that. We're recommissioning them for what's ahead of them. If you guys will stand with us, I'd like you guys to reach your hands out and join me as I pray over them. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Mark and Beth and their years of service, their love for you, Lord. We know that it's good to honor them in the service and to recognize all that they have done. But Lord, their service is unto you, Lord. So I ask that you reward them. And I pray that they would know your pleasure over their life, Lord. And I ask that you would bless them as they move ahead into the next season. May it be full of just the blessings of family and some of the things that they miss. Lord, I pray that they would discover again the path that that you've laid out in front of them, Lord, as you reveal it step by step. Lord, be with them as they transition back to their home culture, but also just to a changed world. And Lord, I ask that you would help them and that you would prepare their way. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Would you guys join me in thanking them? Thank you. So if you've been in this church for a little while, for the last few months, most of you that are in college probably haven't been here, but starting back in the spring, we started to mention the word Zanzibar. How many of you know where Zanzibar is? Put your hand up. All right, a few of you. Okay, yeah, because I didn't really know either when I said that we were going. But Zanzibar is an island off the coast of Tanzania on East Africa, out in the Indian Ocean. And we just had a trip return from there, from this church and other places, other churches here in the valley that went to serve with us. And we got to go to the island and be a blessing and be blessed. And so it was really awesome. One of my favorite things about what I've done with my life is that I get to see the body of Christ represented in so many different cultures. You know, it's not all like here. That's actually should encourage you, you know, that the church is robust and big. Some people say that God's bride is a big woman. And I think that's true. And it's awesome to be able to see and get to know different parts of the body of Christ. But anyway, we got to go and serve, and you'll see some pictures of the two churches that we went to. And we got to serve in these locations and set up medical clinics in them. Pastor Johanna is one of the pastors we served with. There's another pastor who's not going to be pictured. But his name is Pastor Lucas, and he was in the other church. And we also had some key partners that were with us in Tanzania, a guy named Pastor Peter, who's actually in the mainland of Tanzania, but he's a pastor to pastors all over his nation. It was really fun to be around him. He is full of the Lord. We had the opportunity to set up medical clinics in these churches, and they were in partnership with the Ministry of Health. In fact, we had the district medical officer come and serve with us in the medical clinics. And additionally, we had another 4 local doctors come and set up these clinics. And in our clinics, we have areas for nutrition, for screening for malnutrition. We also have this thing called CSI, which is Community Safety Initiative. And this, we ask a series of questions trying to identify people who are at risk of abuse, whether it's sexual or physical, or whether they're in danger of being trafficked, or if they were, you know, if there are other potential red flags, especially in the areas of fears. We would ask them, are you scared of anything at home? And some of the, it was surprising, a lot of the answers had to do with witchcraft and demonic activity that was around them. So in the medical screening, they would come and see the doctor for their initial complaint. Some came all the way from mainland Tanzania, which meant they had to grab a ferry to come over. I guess they heard about it on the radio. We had to put the kibosh to that so that they would stop doing that, because we could not see. We ended up seeing 1,443 patients, I think. So it was a huge number in 2 different locations. We could not take any more. We would start our day and take an intake, and we'd be shut off because we'd seen all the people that we could handle that day. But we had our unusual cases, you know, other cases of measles, some bad pneumonia in people, HIV. We had some cancer that was potentially there. We had a heart attack happen in our clinic. So those are the alarming things. But day-to-day stuff that people deal with, one of the main issues was skin conditions. And, you know, Tanzania is a poor nation, and they don't have access to clean water. And that would probably extend everyone's life by a couple years, just even having access to that. Other areas, people really dealing with intestinal parasites, things like that, hypertension, and other difficulties. So we would give them vitamins, we would give them deworming medication, they'd go through pharmacy and receive medicines. And I want to thank you guys, because some of the money that you gave earlier this year towards the global outreach offering, that money was used, some of that money was used to buy the medicine that we distributed in this nation. So that's part and due to your generosity. Thank you for giving. At the very end of our time there, we had a section called spiritual counseling. And this is an area where people, at the very end of their time with us, we would have an opportunity to talk to them about spiritual things. And that's where I was. You'll see me sitting in a chair there. That chair was my nemesis. It made me sore. But it was an amazing thing, because I've done something, even though I've been involved in ministry, and especially in Muslim nations, for many years, I'd never sat down and prayed just one after another after another after another with people like this. And I've lost count. I think it's around 300 people that I ended up praying for. And some people rejected prayer. They would ask whether or not it was a Christian or a Muslim prayer. And I'd kind of just answer and say, well, there's only one God, and that's the one I'm praying to. And then move into that. You know, I would pray for them to be healed in the name of Jesus. And, you know, even though they're Muslim, I was still praying in Jesus' name. And, you know, I kind of looked at it in terms of all those years I lived in Muslim nations, and I was woken up at 4 or 5 a.m. to the call of prayer. Nobody ever asked me if I wanted to hear that every morning. So I was okay with them listening to me praying for them in the name of Jesus for 3 or 4 minutes of their life. And if I was pressed, And if I was pressed, that's what I would have said, probably with a little bit of cheek. But anyway, it was an amazing thing to be able to pray for these people. Some of them we got to introduce to Jesus. You'll see a picture, I think, on the screen now of my translator, Nicholas. He and I sat together and prayed for all these people together. He was translating my prayer. Sometimes he was jumping in and saying the things because he came to figure out how I prayed for people. And that was awesome to be able to do that. Also had the pastor that was there. And as we would have someone who was interested, we'd lead them to this point where they were ready to pray and give their life to the Lord. And they would take over and lead him into the kingdom. The next picture you'll see, we did have one lady who came through our clinic, and starting at the beginning of the day, she showed interest in spiritual things, and they were encouraging her all the way through the process as she saw different people to consider opening up her life to Jesus. And by the time she landed in front of me, I looked down at her paper and it said she was 100 years old. And, you know, well, it turns out she's 105. She just rounds down, you know. But she gave her life to the Lord, and I asked her to pray for me. So here I am praying for people's health, but I asked her to pray for me because I know I'm not making it to 100. There's just too many miles on these tires. It's not going to happen. But the next lady one lady who came through, you'll see her on the screen, it's Hafsa. And she trusted in Jesus as well, you know, and that was a process of leading her to the Lord in prayer. And then at the end of the time when we had done that, she kind of said, hey, my infant son has yellow eyes. And we're like, well, you need to bring him back in tomorrow. It could be jaundice, could be malaria, could be other serious liver issues. And so she came back the next day and brought her son. And when he came in, he had some of these markings on his face. You'll see him in the next picture. Well, it turns out he just had infant jaundice and it had cleared up, so nothing to be alarmed of there. But she actually came back several consecutive days. But this will give you an example of what people put their faith in. We started asking, why are these markings on his face? And she mentioned the evil eye, that people believe that when they have a beautiful child and that people's eyes literally attract demonic activity towards where their eyes follow. And she felt that this would protect her baby from that. So Zanzibar is interesting because, you know, it's a multi-layered society. Islam is there, but also, and there's, you know, some animism. And Islam is interesting. The God as he is taught, God as he is taught in Islam is so removed from humanity that he's not affected by life on earth. Islam does not have an answer for the demonic or the spiritual, the forces on earth that make people to trust in witchcraft or to trust in magic or superstitious practices or manipulation. So this story of the evil eyes, we were able to take her aside and talk to her about you know, how she should put her trust in the Lord. And, you know, the reality is that we serve a king who took authority over demons, and he gave us that same authority. So we led Hafsa to be in a prayer to be filled by the Holy Spirit and to put her trust in her son to the Lord that he is able to save. We have such a blessing. Just there's the treasure of Emmanuel, that this concept that God is not removed, but he's with us. He's actually with us. Jesus cared and he cares today. He began his ministry by reading from Isaiah 61. You can read it for yourself. I'll give you one verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's the God we serve. He sent the Messiah so that we can be set free. So you'll see in this next picture, and I don't know if Kelly's in here now, but Kelly is one of the leaders of our Developing Workers, and she led our trip. She deserves most of the credit, pretty much all the credit for arranging this trip. But the lady, she's sitting there, she also said yes to Jesus. In fact, our best count is 53. 53 came to the Lord. And I say the best count because there's so many of us having different conversations. It's hard to track down who was what or if it was the same person or different people, that type of thing. So, and we're still hearing fruit from that time period. Last thing I want to talk to you about is this man named Juma. Now, Juma in Arabic means Friday. And this happened on Friday, so that's the only reason I told you that. But when we were having people come through our clinic, we were hearing reports that witch doctors are telling folks that in order to have success in business or life, this is tough, that they needed to sexually assault a child. Now, you hear that once, you go, what the heck's that? but I really have a lot of praise for one of the members of our team who was super bold, because this man who came right here, as you see on the screen, he came on this last Friday of our clinic, and he's a local Islamic community leader. He came and he was wanting to ask, hey, what are the numbers of patients that you've seen? What have you been treating? And he was told by this person on our team that he's not getting any number until he gets him a witch doctor in here, because we wanted to end up, first of all, we want to find out if this is true, and second of all, we want to pray for this guy. And so he ended up coming in very quickly, and before lunch, he gave his life to the Lord.
That's big news.
You know, he doesn't just go around wearing a badge that says witch doctor, right? You know, like he teaches his practices in other ways. But Juma, during the course of this conversation, that's the man on the screen, he ended up getting very agitated. He needed to run off to the mosque to have prayer, and they encouraged him to come back, and he came back, and a couple hours later, he gave his life to the Lord. And so, super cool. Both of them actually came to church the next Sunday. They received New Testaments. They received prayer. And it was an amazing thing to be able to see that. You know, what was awesome is he also asked for a prayer request. And one of the things that he did was ask for a prayer over his community receiving water. And we found out the week after we left that he had been contacted. Someone wanted to drill a well. And he attributed the immediacy of this to our prayers. He says, your prayers worked. That was his words. And what's amazing is they started drilling last Monday and they found water. And so they've received water in their community. So I've just really briefly run through some stories here. If you want to know more testimonies, I encourage you to get up off your backside and go on a trip like this. The opportunity is there for you. I don't care what your financial situation is. God can provide for you. He does this. I've watched him do it. He will test your faith, but he will grow your faith in the process. And watching someone from a different context than you've ever known. And I heard it one time, a Muslim person, after they became the Lord, used the phrase born again. And I knew that they hadn't grown up with that phrase. And so you're just going, that's the Holy Spirit coming from within them. And it will give you chills when you sort of hear that. You're like, this is right here in the Bible. So if you want opportunities to serve, there are opportunities to serve. We have a trip in January back to mainland Tanzania of next year. And then in March of next year, going to the Dominican Republic. The next August to Malawi. And in October of next year, back to Zanzibar. So there's opportunities for you to serve. And I hope that you'll take advantage of them. We want to send you. We want you to go. So about this time in the service, earlier service, I kind of made the comment that, you know, if this doesn't get you excited about the Lord, then you might as well go on home, because I don't know what else we have left. And poor Des was sitting over there. looked over. So Des will come on out. He's going to finish up this morning with an awesome message. And I hope that you guys will join me in praising God for the ministry.
So in closing out this series, I'm going to go real fast today for obvious reasons. But in closing it out, there's big connection. When it comes to being transformed, we need to know it's not just about my small world. It's the world. And we're seeing transformation take place. I see the kingdom of God forcefully advancing in all kinds of different spaces and places, including here and out in places like Zanzibar. But Jonathan picked up something significant, and that is there's a battle and there is a war and there's a spiritual fight taking place. And Peter, at the end of this book of the Bible called 1 Peter, we're in chapter 5, we're closing it all out. If you missed any, go back, listen to them all. He wants to leave these final words, and it includes a warning and a reality check and a call to stand and resist and fight. Closing words are really important. So we're diving in. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to go 8 through 11, but today probably just do it verse 8 and 9 and just mention 10 and 11. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 starts with this. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So it starts with this. Be self-controlled and alert. It's not the first time that Peter said that phrase. Be self-controlled and alert. He says it in chapter 1. I'll remind you, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Alert. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Self-controlled and alert. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we have a choice. Self-controlled and alert. Live boldly or pursue comfort. Live boldly or pursue comfort. Boldness. At chapter 2, Peter goes in and says, guys, rid yourselves of all of this stuff. The malice and the anger and the hypocrisy. Rid yourselves of it. Be self-controlled and alert. Be ready. It's a call to action. He's saying, guys, live your life on the front foot. That way, when things come and they come, you're braced for it. Be self-controlled and alert. It's not enough, friends, to go, oh, I'm in Jesus and what just happens, I'll be okay. No, he's saying you be self-controlled and alert. Why? He gives the reason why. He goes in the second part of verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I'm just going to say it absolutely clearly. When we read that, sometimes whatever's conjuring up in your mind, Peter wants to use a wildlife National Geographic documentary imagery. We're going to get into it today. But there's something that we just think, oh, the enemy wants to come and just kill people. Peter firsthand heard Jesus say this word, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus said, you may have life and life in its fullness. But there is an enemy. And the steal, kill, and destroy doesn't always look like literally your death is there. No, it looks like this. He just wants to make you ineffective. He wants you off the field and in the bleachers. He wants you passive. He wants you susceptible to whatever. He wants to take you out of the war. He wants to neutralize you. He wants to see your family completely broken and disunified. He wants to see your marriage fail. He wants to see you put your trust in comfort. He wants to see you self-medicate. He wants to see you, it's subtle. There's so many things. And it doesn't just happen in one moment. There's a drift. There's a subtle drift. Maybe you've come to a point in your life and you go, how did I get here? What happened? How did I find myself here? I didn't see this coming. It's so common. It isn't often, one day I'm awesome, next day it's all horrific. There's been a subtle drift that's taken place. And there is an enemy who is prowling and wants to take you out of the game. He wants to take you out. He wants to make you ineffective. And he applies multiple tactics in doing that. Multiple tactics. It's really important. And today, I just want to say this before I give this big illustration. Today's a warning day for some of you. Some of you, you know. You may not have attributed to it, but there's a knock on your door and it's a temptation. It's a sell yourself out. It's a take the easy road. It's a pursue comfort. It's not that bad. It could be a temptation area. It could be a subtle shift in your lifestyle and your life attention. It could be a passivity that's kicking in. And I want to tell you right now, this is a warning to you today. There is an enemy. He's prowling and he's looking to take some of you out. Wow, this is a bit heavy. I'm sick of seeing it happen, that's why. I'm sick of seeing good men fall. I'm sick of seeing it. There's a culture out there. Oh, I nearly moved on too fast. Let me go to this illustration. So about 20 plus years ago, I remember watching this part of a documentary of the wildebeest migrating on the Serengeti Plain in Africa. And I remember watching it, and it stuck with me because of what they were doing. The show was really all about lions and how they survive and how they capture lunch. And so you're watching this, and this is stuck with me because I remember at that moment it being an illustration to seeing a lot of teenagers' lives at that time when I was in full-time youth ministry and me going, we've got a role to play that this does not happen to teenagers. I could see it. And the wildebeest was the illustration of us, and the lions, obviously, the enemy. Here's what I watched happen. Stick with me. I'm going to try and reenact it. Hundreds of wildebeest move across the Serengeti Plain. As they go in the big herd, they stop to graze when what's underneath them is nutritious. They stop to graze. Lions know where the wildebeest are going to stop to graze. And I watched this happen, and it was incredible. It's almost like these three lions. Can I just name it? They are lionesses. It's the lionesses who do the hard work. They're the ones who really capture the prey, okay? And it was almost like they'd had a meeting. There was three of them, three lionesses. It's almost like they'd huddled up and go, here's the strategy. Wildebeest over there, lunchtime. This is how we're gonna do it. You go right, you go left, I'll stay at the top. And on my signal, woof. And it was like, and you saw it happen. No walkie-talkies, no cell phones. Like, the grasses are a certain height, not super long, and so the lions go down and they prowl in the grasses. And you saw them position themselves, a three-pronged attack. And the wildebeest herd is there, and they're grazing. And then you could see it happen. They were just looking for a moment, and the moment was this. When one wildebeest got slightly separated from the herd. Lions were smart enough not to charge into the middle. There's strength in numbers. But let's just see one that's drifted off. Often in wildebeest, it's a lame one or a very young one, an injured one, a sick one, whatever they'll look. But on this particular occasion, and I saw it happen in front of me on the TV screen, the wildebeest are grazing, and as they graze, they start to move and they're maneuvering. But this one particular young wildebeest, probably they said adolescent, is munching down on lunch for themselves, and it's just head down, totally, totally oblivious to everybody else. Just doing his own thing. Wildebeest, and I'm not going to be judgmental here, but they're not the class act that bison are. They're not. They're a little bit lacking somewhere. And they will, and just, and they just have that posture. And this one wildebeest, you could see it. The herd's starting to move, but he's not. He's totally fixated on him and his moment and what he needed. And all of a sudden, this subtle drift takes place, and he's separated, ever so slightly, he's separated from the protection of the rest of the wildebeest. And it's almost like things, and so I don't know what, but it's like the lions were like, at some point, we go. There was even a moment, and I'll say this, it's a young wildebeest. I'm watching it. If I could, and I think lions are cool, but I was like, look out! Like, you're going to shout at the television. You know what I mean? Lions! Lion, what are you doing? It's young. Every young animal is cute, agreed? When they grow up, maybe not so, but are cute. And you're like, no! And I really wanted to see the lions, but I'm like, oh, no, not the young one. Not a young one. Like, take out the old guy, not the young guy. And I'm watching it happen, and I'm seeing it, and it's impacting me. 20 plus years on, I'm still can see it clearly. And there was even a moment where maybe he heard something or a breeze came and this young wildebeest went, nuh. And I'm like, yes! Run back to the family. Quick! Lions! Run! No, 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 no. And you're like, no! And the herd still drifts and drifts and drifts. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, whoosh, 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 three lionesses come in, vroom. And as they run like crazy, the herd is off. They're like, lions, off. This one guy, too late, vroom, three of them. Got him, took him out, devoured him. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. It's not like you can see him. You just think, oh, I'm all right. It's not that bad. No big deal. Let me ask you a question. With that story, where are you? How close are you to the king? His name is Jesus, and how close are you in his body? Second question would be, who's alongside you? When's the last time you took a look? Who's alongside another person to go, dude, what you're doing right now, this isn't going to end well. Who have you got in your life who'll speak into you and call you out because they love you? Who's able to go, you're drifting, and that's what the enemy's going to take you out. You're slipping by, you're not deeply connected, one, to Jesus or to his people. To his people. The power of unity is significant. There is strength in the family. So important. So who are you looking out for? Who are you able to see? Look what's going on. There's a drift. Maybe you've been in a season where you know you drifted. And maybe some of you are drifting right now. You've just got that separation. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me and my Jesus. It's just, oh, I'm okay. And well, it's, yeah, maybe. And you're just, you know. You just know, I don't have to get into it, but I'm warning you today, the enemy is gonna take you out. And it might not be take your life, but he'll impact your soul. And there's a consequence of that. There's a consequence of that. And today's a day where I bring it to your attention and you look up and you're not the crazy wildebeest who goes back to what you were doing. You look up and you run back to the king and you run back to his people. And you run and you just go, what? Hey, help. This is going on, help. Help, like really help. It's significant. How close are you to the king and how close are you to his people? And it's not who's looking out for me, it's who are you looking out for? He who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. There's a posture there that's important, really important. How many people, how did this happen? How did this happen? How did I find myself here? There's been a subtle drift, and that drift looks like this. I'm trusting in another source. I've got a plan for my life, and it's practical, and it's sensible. But is it what the king's ordered? Where's your strength and where's your trust? Because the enemy is more than happy with you finding your trust elsewhere. Because it makes you ineffective and you off the battlefield. It's really important. That's why I'm going to say to you, tomorrow night is the most important night in October. We pray. We have once a month we pray nights. First Monday of the month, tomorrow night, in this room, 7 o'clock. It is the most significant moment for this church this month. Every single one of them is. We come and we gather and we're in the presence of the King and we pray. You get to be prayed for, prayed with, share communion, nonstop worship. It's critical, it's significant, and it's a strength of a herd. And the enemy just wants you to go, oh no, you can't, you're busy, blah, blah, blah. Let's just detach you off. Can't tell you the strength and significance of a house of prayer. Whatever you've got planned tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, please go and reassess that unless it's already here. Invite people to join. There is something significant and special with that. One of the reasons that I do Into the Storm on a Tuesday morning for guys at 6 a.m. next door is because guys, we just think we can fix it ourselves and we drift off from the herd. And I've seen too many men following Jesus ineffective and impotent for the kingdom. And they drifted off. And us men have a tendency to want to fix it all ourselves. We have a tendency to go, it's all right. I don't need, no. You might not think you need, but they need you. And in so doing, you'll realize how much help you need. I'm going to skip that text that was next on the screen because of time, and let me dive into this. It then says, verse 9, resist him. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kind of stuff. Number one, if some of you are feeling this attack and the drift right now, you're not alone. That's the other enemy tactic. See, you're not good enough. You blew it. You're sinning over here. You don't belong in the herd anymore. It's an enemy tactic. All over the world, this, you're not alone in this. And nor can you fight it on your own. But it says, resist him. This came to me this week. How is it that we keep seeing people stumble and fall and being taken out of the game? How is it we're seeing a generation that don't know how to handle the war? Don't know how to handle temptation? Don't know how to resist? Don't know how? It's not enough of just say no. I've got to know what I'm saying yes to. Not just say no, how is it? So can I just say, for my generation and the one above, maybe, just maybe, us parents and grandparents did not equip the next generation for the war. And this is how it looked. It's bad out there. Let's just protect you and let you avoid these temptations. Don't find yourself in environments where it gets, let's protect you and you can avoid them so you never have to say no. Let's avoid it, avoid it, avoid it. And then they become young adults, they go into a situation and all of a sudden they go, I don't know how to handle this. We've got to equip them for it. Equip them to know how to face that. Listen, this is what it means, parents. It's almost like people sign up for the army. They go into training, but they never train for the battlefield. Oh yeah, we're all together and we get to march and it's all cool and we provide all this and we wear nice uniforms and we've got an identity and we stand for the flag and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and off you go. Okay, where are we going? Where's these bullets coming from? What do I do now? It sounds insane, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, the hemorrhaging in recent years of the church is we did not and are not equipping one another with what does it mean when the enemy is prowling. We've got to equip them to protect and preserve a little night Christian bubble is reaping a harvest. And the harvest is carnage. And I've done enough. I'll say it again. There's language out there now in the world who's standing and going, actually, I'm not sure about this. One language is, oh, there's too much toxic masculinity. Let me stay with this. There's toxic humanity. There's toxic humanity, but the subtle shift to name just masculinity is an attack, and I'm going to say it, from Eden, and the reality is the enemy wants to castrate male followers of Jesus. Because they're warriors. And they're called in unity to be warriors. And somebody somewhere has got to go, what does it look like to be a man of God? What does it look like to reawaken a masculine soul and a feminine soul? What does that look like and see the kingdom of heaven forcefully advance? But the moment we sell to, oh, but we can't be like that because the world says we're this and we go on the back foot and go, oh, maybe not. There's the problem. That's an enemy strategy. So I'm just saying, you guys joining us at 6 a.m. on a Tuesday and you're all welcome to join us. This is about rediscovering the masculine soul in a good way. Because in a bad way, it's toxic, but there's toxic humanity in general. Our culture is wired for comfort. Some of that's been good. Aren't you grateful for washing machines and tumble dryers? Somebody had the invention, how can we make life easier? Thank you very much. Somebody said, how can you live in Arizona more comfortably? Thank you very much, air conditioning. Thank you very much for that comfort. It helps. Thank you very much. Go on, fries, click list, order my groceries, pick them up tomorrow at my convenience. Thank you very much. Love it. But everything to do with success and invention is all about making life more comfortable for humanity. With that, in your following Jesus and being a son or daughter of the King, are you just pursuing comfort because you're called on a journey with his people and the enemy is prowling? He's prowling. And it's enough. James 4, verse 6. I start a new series next week called Something's Missing. We're gonna walk through the book of James till Thanksgiving. James chapter 4, verse 6. Second part goes on. This is why scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He quotes what Peter quoted last week. And then he says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. It's not just enough to resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Misquote. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. It's not enough with the things that are making difficulty your life and the prowling enemy to go, no, no, no. You have to have already had a bigger yes. You're not saying no because no, that's bad. It's no. I've already said yes to what is greater. I've already said yes to what is greater, so I have a reason for saying no. But if you've not navigated the reason for saying no, you're gonna say yes to that thing you should have said no. You've gotta have a bigger, greater yes. I'll give an illustration for this from my life when I was a boy-ish. I started dating my wife when I was super young. I was 19, and then I knew, there's a whole story to that story which we can't get into right now. But as we started dating, I'd already said to Jesus in the journey, because it was a miraculous story, I'd already said to him, I started dating her, King Jesus, you have answered a miraculous prayer. I give my life to you. I'm going to honor you by honoring her. I will only be intimate, would have to do a drawing, and with her on my wedding day. Great decision, God-honored decision, and I declared it, we talked about it, this is where we're gonna go. Dumb decision, number one. We dated 7, 8, 9 months, going good. I proposed, she said yes. We had a 2-year, 2-month engagement. 2 years and 2 months engagement. Please do not do as I did. If you are a young adult right now considering getting engaged, I recommend 2-day engagements. If you can't, I'd go for 2-minute engagements. The prowling lions were every day for 2 years and 2 months. Every day, and there wasn't 3 of them. There was 33 of them. Every day. But how, and let me say this, but it's not enough to me say, oh, resist the devil, no. I'd already had a bigger yes. I'd already said, God, this is your best, and I want to pursue your best, and I'm trusting you for the best. And so it's not just I'm saying no, resist the devil, it's, devil, you don't have my best in mind. He does. It was a daily decision to go after God's best. In my life, I've had only a few occasions where I have felt the smile of heaven on my life. Only a handful. And I'll tell you this day, I can recall it as clear as anything. On the 27th of June, 1992, at about 1:33 in the afternoon, I'm in a church, the music starts, and a bride walks in. And she's at the end of the aisle, and I turn around to see her come in. Nobody's looking at me. Everybody's looking at her. And in that moment, when everybody's looking at her, I'm telling you, if it was the voice of God or just the smile of heaven, I quite literally felt this. Des, you deserve this. You deserve this. Well done. You deserve this. And it wasn't you just deserve this beautiful woman. It's 3 years of prowling lions and you told them where to go. You trusted in what was best. And it's like, that was a monstrous spiritual moment for me. I want every single one of you young men who's not married yet to have the smile of heaven on your face the day your bride walks up the aisle. I can't stress the anointing that you will receive and the grace of God when you trust in what is best. And I know for some of you are thinking, yeah, but that's all too late for me. I believe in a God that when he says all things new can make all things new. I believe in a God who can, so far as the east is from the west, so far your sin can be taken. There is a reality that you can only resist the devil when you've already said yes to the king. Today, he's knocking at your door. The enemy is prowling like a lion. You've got to say yes to the king and yes to being with the king and his people and run to him. Let me read verse 10 and 11 of 1 Peter. Super quick. In fact, no, let me read 1 John 4:4, because this is a text that every time you say it, I think something supernatural happens. 1 John 4, verse 4, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You've got to know he is my king, Holy Spirit living in me. When this comes and the enemy comes prowling, it's me saying, but okay, this is true. Me in my flesh, I am going to fall. But he that is in me is greater. I am choosing that is greater, he that is greater, my identity in the one who is greater. I'm choosing greater than. And I have to declare that scripture. No, I know this is what you're saying. I know you're saying to me, oh, you can deal with this yourself, you can fix it yourself, you're okay by yourself. It's a subtle drift in the physical world. Some of you go, ah, I woke up today and all of a sudden I'm 50 pounds heavier. Nobody put 50 pounds on over a weekend. It was the result of a journey that caused you to be 50 pounds heavier. I'm using the physical as an analogy. It's the same when it comes to a drift of being far from God and far from his people. It didn't just happen overnight. But the enemy wants to go, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. How did I get here? I didn't see this coming. First Peter 5, verse 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, suffering's the storm's a reality, but he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. It's not my power. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has been given into us, and we daily have to ask for his refill. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Are you drifting? Peter wants to call these amazing followers of Jesus and say, don't forget, guys. Don't forget, guys. Don't forget. And so today, I'm going to ask this. I'm going to ask all of our prayer partners and leaders just to come down front and be available. Come out right now. Prayer partners and leaders. The reality is, as we close out this series, oh, did I forget to say? You better be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. What are you doing tomorrow night, 7 o'clock? I can't stress it enough. Like, I'm believing for miracles and breakthrough tomorrow night. Because the one in whom we will dwell with is the one who is greater than. And so some of you today need some transformation. We've been talking about it for 9 weeks, but it's enough's enough. Some of you have been drifting. You're just in neutral following Jesus. Today's a day to put it in gear. Some of you have never had a reason for a yes. You've just been trying to resist, and it's tiring you out. It's tiring. Some of you need to put your head up and take a good look at where you are and go, I'm not in the game. I'm detached from Jesus and his people. I was once closer. This morning on the way here, a song came on my playlist that we've never done here in the morning. They sang it at Unified a few weeks ago when it kicked off at the launch. I'd heard it before. It's called Gratitude. And the bridge in it's just weird. Because it's like I'm singing a praise song to myself. And then this morning, it was like a pep talk. It was like a come on now. Here we go. The words of the bridge kind of go something like this. It says, now, come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Because you've got a lion inside of me. You know, saying, get up and praise the Lord. Like, get up and praise the Lord. And I was driving and imagining a mirror in front of me. And I'm going, Des, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Because you've got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. Get up and praise the Lord. No matter how I feel, get up and praise the Lord. Temptation's knocking, get up and praise the Lord. Get up and praise the Lord. I was screaming that song out. Like I had gravel in my throat. And didn't know I had it. And some of you need to know today's a day to step forward and say enough's enough. Some of you have never made Jesus your king. You're going to be taken out. Make him your king. Resisting and standing firm. Some of you, it's a new day to say, I'm going to covenant my life to God's best in every area of my life. Come out for prayer for that. I'm going to pray for all of us with that now. And then you come out during a closing song, which is simply the gospel in song. King of Kings, not done it for a few months. This is what you belong to. This is who you belong to. This is the gospel. You're preaching it and singing it over the heavenlies and into your own soul as a commissioning. Let's pray. King Jesus, we give our lives to you today. We thank you. And we say yes to you. The enemy is fearful and he will try to attack, but we know you are greater. So we surrender our lives to you, King Jesus. We thank you that you love us so much, you gave us your life. We thank you that the blood of Jesus is so powerful, can cleanse us from all unrighteousness, can make us like new. And I pray for everybody in this room right now that we don't just drift and do life and carry on, but maybe today's a day that was a warning that said, the path I'm on, I'm slowly drifting, enough. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. And we pray for one another as well. Give us the boldness to speak into one another's lives when we see drift happening. Because we don't want our friends to be taken out. Help us in that, Lord. Anoint us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.